that's why everybody come here today, to lift up God. And here's your chance. Let's stand and sing number 448, Just a Closer Walk with Thee.
Church, we want you to feel welcome, whether you're in the parking lot, on Facebook, or in the Lord's house. And pray that you had a blessed day. And have a question? I know myself. Sometimes I have a "I got to" attitude instead of "I get to." But did you get up thinking that you get to go to church today, or "I got to go to church today"? Way of announcements, remember the tire out in the bulletin if you're a visitor or you have a need, and place it in the offering box in the lobby. And ongoing activities are on the back of the bulletin. And we have Sunday school classes going on in the sanctuary and fellowship hall, and we need to be respectful and not interrupt them while they're in class if we can. And on Good Friday there will be a celebration from on the 15th at 12 for everyone if you'd like to attend. And there'll be a short business meeting after church today. Members, please stay, and you're welcome to stay if you're not. And let's remember our neighbors and remember those that have lost loved ones, and remember that we need to pray for each other. And remember our pastor and his family, and let's remember Brother Josh as he brings our message today. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love and mercy and grace, and thank you for sending Jesus. And Jesus, we thank you for what you did, done, and will do for us. And I pray, Father, that we can love like Jesus, and pray that you forgive me of the sinfulness that's in me, and pray that your blessings will be with our pastor and his family, and be with Brother Josh as he brings your message today. And I pray that we apply it to our lives, and pray for those that lost loved ones, that you'll give them peace and comfort, and pray for the rest of the prayer concerns, that your healing hand would touch them in the way that they need. And we especially pray for the lost, and for anyone that doesn't know Jesus, we pray that today would be the day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you.
Well, good morning. I was told Otis was going to give me a really good, smooth introduction, but I really don't need one. I'm not very smooth, and sometimes I get to playing with my kids in sports. I do a lot of things with sports with my kids, and we coach the upper teams over there at First Baptist Gate City, and so a lot of times I tell them I'm just like an agile rhinoceros is what I am. I can knock you down quick, and never did play football. Maybe that's where I needed to join in, was football, because I was always a baseball kid. So maybe I should have got a little bit of that out in football. But I wanted to talk to you this morning a little bit about something that the Lord put on my heart really a few weeks ago. And before we get started, let's open up in prayer, would we? Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the morning. God, I thank you for this opportunity, and God, I just pray that your word would be spread among these hearts here. God, I ask that the things that we discussed this morning and hear from your word, Lord, I just ask that we would take them, use them, and be able to improve our lives from those things. And we just give you all the honor, and we just thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. Just we ask your name, amen. So this morning, I want you guys to know that I teach Sunday school, and this is my son's used notepad, and my wife is very embarrassed that I use this all the time. She's not here this morning. She's a nurse. She's working. So I don't know if she'll see this or not, but if she is, then, oh well, I'm using it. So the rest of my family, I've got two daughters and a son. They're over at First Baptist Gate City this morning. One of my older daughters, she sings, and they help do a lot of stuff with the children's ministry over there. And my son, he just wants to go there because they got a big gym. So we'll leave that with that. But they're good kids. So it's just me this morning. But I kind of wanted to, I'm going to be in a couple different places this morning. The first place we'll go to will be in Luke 16. If you guys want to turn there, I always like to give people enough time to turn there so they can actually follow me in their copy of the Word, whether it be on your phone or whether it be on a physical copy. I like mine, but it's falling apart. I'm going to have to get me a new one here for too long. But I wanted to ask you this question, all right? What do you think about eternity? Like really, what do you think? And I'm talking to you guys as a church this morning, okay? We know that there's lost people, there's saved people, there's people who think they're saved, there's people who know they're lost, there's people who just don't know. So I want to ask you this morning, what do you think about eternity? And the reason I ask you this morning as a church is because it's been known, there's a fact, that a lot of people involved in our churches today are just as lost as they've ever been. Do you agree with me on that? So I want to talk to you this morning as a church, okay? I want to see, I just heard my voice go up. That must have been the work of Tammy. I know Tammy a little bit. But anyway, I just wanted to ask you that question. Do you really know what's going to happen with eternity and you specifically? Okay. A lot of people, when you ask them, what do you think about the afterlife? Anybody know who Ray Comfort is in here? He's an evangelist. He's worked with Kirk Cameron on a few things. He's got a YouTube channel where he goes out in California. He'll go out. You should watch him sometime. He'll go out and just randomly ask somebody, hey, you know, I'll give you a $10 gift card if you'll do an interview with me, and I want to ask you about what you think about the afterlife. People jump right on it, all right? And there's a verse in Ecclesiastes 3:11. I don't have it memorized. Don't think I'm some super special person. I got it wrote down here, so I'm going to read it. It says, he has made everything appropriate in its time. He has also set eternity in their heart, yet so that man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end. All right, it's not for us to know what God has in store for us. It's not for us to know his plan for the world. None of us know when eternity is going to end here on this earth before everything takes place when Christ comes back for the second time. But there is something in us. God has put something in every heart, not just Christians, but in every human heart, that there is something more than just this life. Okay, there's something more than just what we have here. All right, so when people are asked this question, and Ray Comfort, you know, says, hey, what do you think about the afterlife? What's going to happen when you die? All right, a lot of people have different answers, okay? They have all kinds of questions, but a lot of them will say, I'm going to heaven, all right? And that's where it can get interesting, okay? Because once they say, I'm going to heaven, you can say, okay, why? Why are you going to heaven? What gives you the right to go to heaven? How do you know there is a heaven? Is there anything other than a heaven, or do we all just go to heaven? So here's some examples, okay? I wrote some of these things down. These are some of the things that people say, the reasons they're going to heaven, okay? Ultimately, we as a church, those who have truly accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they're living for Him, and they've changed their life, and their life becomes nothing other but a servant to Christ, we know that there's a way for heaven, okay? We know that there's a place for us there. But the main thing is our relationship with Christ, okay? All right, but here's what people say. I've been pretty good. You guys ever heard that one before? I know my kids, when they want something special, they say, well, I've been doing pretty good, you know? And they always, when they come to ask me if they want something, if it's kind of, if it's something easy, they'll just ask me. Or the main thing they want is just money. You know, can I just have some money for this or money for that? And but most of the time they'll say, well, I've been doing this and I'm doing this, and they give me all these reasons why they should get this, okay? And a lot of times that's how we treat things in life. You know, if you're good, you'll get a reward. You know, if you're good, you'll get a cookie at the end of the day or whatever. That'd be my downfall because I'm a chocolate chip cookie lover. All right, that's why I'm always on Weight Watchers and all that kind of thing. So, anyways, I've been pretty good. All right, here's another one we've heard. My mom said I will. How many times do we as parents just think automatically that our kids are so great that they've got it made. They got their ticket. All right, my relative is a pastor. I got a relative who's a deacon. My grandpa's been in the church for 47 years, you know, however long. They think that because of their relationship with that person in church, they just automatically, well, yeah, my family's the Christian family, you know, we're going to heaven. Here's another one in a question form. Don't we all go to heaven? I mean, don't we all just, you know, when we die, we just go to a better place, you know, get free taco buffet all the time, you know, like going on a big cruise for the rest of our life. How about this one, the counterweight? I've done more good than bad. You guys heard that before? Yep, I've done more good than bad. I've been in church my whole life. Does church make you just automatically go to heaven? Okay. I'm glad we're in agreement with that this morning. I believe in God. A lot of people say I believe in God. A lot of people say I believe in something bigger than us. I believe there's something out there that created everything, and they're just wondering. They're thinking. They don't really know, okay? But they believe in God, but we know where that gets us, right? We can believe in whoever we want to. Doesn't mean our life changed, okay? I pray every day. A lot of Christians pray. Yeah, that's right. But a lot of non-believers pray also, okay? They think they're praying to something. They don't know who they're praying to. You look across the world and all of the different religions we have, and people pray every day, okay? We see people kneeling down on mats, praying, putting their head to the ground. There's all kinds of different things that we see people do. All right. How about this one? This is related to Southern Baptists. Okay. I grew up Southern Baptist. We believe in fried chicken. Right. Okay. One of the things that is big in Southern Baptist is I said a prayer when I was a little kid. All right. Just coming down the aisle and saying a prayer without a changed life, without a changed direction, I'm sad to say, but that's not the way we are supposed to live. That's not the way Jesus Christ called us to live. All right, how about this? I've been baptized. Baptism, all right? People think baptism is a way to heaven. Some people will do it 4 or 5 times or even more, you know. Did something wrong. I need to get baptized real quick, you know. Let's get it done. How about this? My wife is a Christian or my husband's a Christian, all right? Just because you're married to that person, doesn't guarantee you a way into heaven. Okay, but here's the thing. Proverbs 16:25. Here's another verse I got wrote down. I'm not as good as all the other pastors, okay? It's been a while since I've done this anyway. But Proverbs 16:25 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. All right, so there's lots of people out there. We've all heard the term false religion. All right, we've all heard the term false teaching. Okay, there's a lot of that. You see a lot of Jesus New Testament, he's hammering down on the false teachers, okay? There's lots of that still going on right here today, all right? There's no doubt. You get too far from your friends and family and your neighborhood and your community, even sometimes within the community, and you start seeing these things, okay? I grew up Central Florida, Lakeland area, be specific, Polk County. Big, huge area, big, huge county, right in the center of the state. And one thing we were known for was we were the drug capital of the world. We had so many people on drugs in Polk County, it just drove our sheriff's department crazy, okay? And I know that there's drugs everywhere. But one thing that we had coming into Florida was we had so many different nationalities. And with all those nationalities came all these different things. And I worked with guys for our county down there, and they would tell me, you know, one guy had a side hustle going on, and he was selling turtles. And I'm like, what in the world are you selling all these turtles for? And what he was doing was he was taking a truckload of turtles every week, and the guy was actually getting very wealthy off of it. The guy's not a Christian man. We witnessed to him quite a bit, but he was a Hispanic guy. He would buy a box load of turtles and take these turtles down to Miami and sell them all so that they could be, I forgot the term for it. forgot the English term for it. I don't know if anybody's seen that from Tammy's post. But anyway, it's supposed to make me sound smarter if I say I don't know the English term for the word. But anyways, he would sell all these turtles, so basically they could be, the blood could be poured and shed from them in offer of sacrifice, okay? All kinds of different religions, all kinds of different things going on, and people are thinking that this is going to get them to heaven, all right? Because most people, if you ask them, 99% of people, they do believe in a heaven. There's a few people that say, I don't really believe in anything. But a lot of people will come out and say, yeah, I believe in there's a heaven, all right? But in that term, the way they think, it's just false, okay? It's just false. And a lot of times, we as a church, we get into the mental mindset that I've been here all my life, okay? I'm pretty much set, okay? But there's a number of people in all these churches around here, especially throughout the United States, that if you really got into a good conversation with them, they would probably wind up saying, well, you know, I've been in church my whole life, but I really don't know Christ as my Savior. All right, and that's my message to you this morning is, do you really, really, really know for sure where you're going to go when you die? Because as we look in Luke 16, and as you turn there, we're going to read this parable. All right, I'm going to read it to you. It's a story about the rich man and the beggar. Okay, we've probably all heard this parable before. I'm going to read starting in verse 19. And it says, now there was a rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, joyously living in splendor every day. All right, so we've got one tier, we'll say, okay? Then we drop all the way down to the bottom. Verse 20, it says, and a poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate, covered with sores, and longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. All right, so we go from the richest to the poorest, okay? It's neat with this story because that pretty much covers everybody in between, don't it? I mean, you can have the highest of the high and the lowest of the low, all right? So let's move on, verse 22. Now the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away in Lazarus' bosom. So now we see the two different spectrums. We see the high and the low. And now we see, after death, we see two different options. A lot of people want to believe in heaven, but they really believe that there's no hell. And so we're all just going to go to heaven one day. So it really doesn't matter what I do here. If we're all going to wind up in heaven, what's the big deal? What's the big difference? Okay, why do we need to do all these good things? Why can't we do anything we want to do? The things I'm doing aren't really bad. All right. So look what happens. All right. We've learned that there's two different types of people. We learned that there's two different options after death. Okay, heaven and hell. All right. Verse 23. I'm going to start there again. In Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus so that he may dip the tongue of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that during your life you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus' bad things. But now he is being comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great chasm fixed, so that those who wish to come over from here to you will not be able, and that none may cross over from there to us. All right, so what else have we learned from this story right here? We've learned one important fact that we need to know for this lifetime. We have learned that right now, while you're living and taking a breath and you're able, this is your chance. Okay? You have a choice to make while you're here. All right? There's definitely a choice. We see the two choices. All right? We know what they are. Got to make the decision now, because once we've moved on to that, to this stage, okay, once we get to there, there's no other chances. Okay? This is it. This is your chance right now. All right? So let's move on. Verse 27. And he said, Then I beg you, Father, this is the rich man speaking, I beg you, Father, that you send to my father's house, that you send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, in order that he may warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment. But Abraham said, There they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. But he said, No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, If you do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded, even if someone rises from the dead. Now keep in mind, Jesus is he's telling this parable. What's ironic, and what Pastor Jeff, I know you guys know Pastor Jeff DeBoard over at First Baptist, he's been preaching on a series in John. Okay, and in John 6, after the feeding of the 5,000, after Lazarus is raised from the dead, okay, after multiple things take place that are miracles, that are recorded, that we know happened for sure, the people that he's talking to, the people that have been following him, the people that have seen all these things happen, you know what they say when they ask him what they need to do for this eternal life, and he tells them what to do? They say, we need a sign. After all of the things they've lived through, they've chased Jesus across the sea, okay? They've been searching for him. Where is he at? Where is he at? Really what it comes down to is they just want another bellyful. All right, they've been fed. They've been kind of like us going to the Golden Corral or something. However you want to, going to Mama's Buffet after Sunday service or whatever. They just wanted another bellyful is really all they wanted. So a lot of times with us, I think we get to a position in the church where we're just kind of stall. We just kind of think, where's our next bellyful coming from? And this might come as a shock to you, but it's our local churches, okay? I'll just be specific with you. It's this church. I'm not saying there's anything bad with this church. It's the church I attend. It's the church I came from that I grew up in Florida. I think every church goes through, we need another sign. All right? We need another sign, God. For it to be real, we need another sign. And so I want to ask you this morning, if you know Christ as your Savior and you're here, there's something more that we should be doing, okay, as a church. There's something more we should be doing as individuals. I know that we've kind of come out of a time of, this pandemic and things like that, and a lot of churches are still empty, and, even our churches around here, we're still doing live stream and things like that. But, man, wherever the Lord has you, no matter if you're attending here, somewhere else, wherever the Lord has you, there's a plan and there's a purpose for everything, okay? And so we can take that to heart as Christians. Now, if you're just coming here because your mama wants you to come, or your daddy says, hey, you need to be in church, or you're being forced to come, or you just think you need to come out of obligation because you've been coming for so many years, you need to really stop and think, what are you doing here? Are you here in vain? Because if you're coming here thinking that church attendance or doing things good for the community or something like that is going to affect you somehow, and the Lord's decision, if your name is going to be written down in that Lamb's Book of Life, there's another thing coming to you. I mean, it's just a matter, you get into the Word and you read, I don't want to hammer this too hard on everybody this morning, but if you don't know Christ as your Savior, and you're just coming here just because, it's all in vain. If you keep reading in Ecclesiastes, it talks about that. It talks about the person who knows there's something more, doesn't ever go and try to receive what's out there. They come up with their own plan, or they come up with their own retirement for the afterlife, or whatever you want to call it. All right, but there's a big difference there. Okay, so we see this example. All right, there's two places. We see we have a choice. Okay, the next place I want to turn to is in Revelation. All right, so if you will go to Revelation 3, we're going to use that example of Jesus. Of Jesus' parable there in Luke 16. But go to Revelation 3. We'll start there in verse 14. There's a series of messages here that are written out in Revelation. Okay? This one we're going to be talking to about is from the church of Laodicea. Okay? This is a message written to them. Alright, let's think about what we've heard this morning so far. Let's think about where we are in our position with Christ. Have we accepted Him or not? Where are we as a church? Where are we as an individual? What are we doing? Are we seeking out the Lord's counsel every day? Let's take what happened to the rich man and Lazarus and see if we can identify some things here in Revelation. All right? So we'll start in verse 14. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of creation of God, says this. I love how it starts out like that. A lot of times we look over the introductions of different things. But right there it says, the true witness, the beginning of creation. So if we're looking for truth in life, we got to find the origin of the truth, right? So if we're looking for something to be absolute true, we have to go back to its original point of which it started. All right? We know, as Christians, we can go back to Genesis and we can see the very beginning. There's no doubt. There should be no doubt. Okay? We should be able to go back and say, God is the origin of truth. Okay? Not just whoever. Not just, well, I think it should be like this. How many times do we think that? You know, we have a law system today that we have judges and things like that, and we need to pray for those guys because they have to make hard decisions. Okay? We have leadership and we have government, and they have to make hard decisions. Sometimes you have to make hard decisions in your life. But one thing we can count on as Christians, something of comfort that we have, is knowing that we can hold on to ultimate truth. We know exactly how things started, and we know the origin of it, and we can go back to it. Okay, and we can, if we get lost, we can come back. And it's the same truth every time. It doesn't change. All right? So let's move on from there. Verse 15. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot, so because you are lukewarm and neither hot or cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, and I have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable, and poor and blind and naked, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may become rich, and white garments, so that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love I reprove and discipline, therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him, and he will dine with me, and he with me. He who overcomes I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on His throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. All right, so as we look at this, you got to understand one thing. The Church of Laodicea was a rich church. Okay, it was a rich city, a rich town. When you look back, I have got this wrong in the past. I've got to admit that. I have taken the stand before I really came to the knowledge of what this truly meant, about the hot or cold thing, all right? I don't know how to put this other than I was just kind of wrong in the sense that I've taught my kids and stuff, you need to either be hot or cold, okay? Not lukewarm, all right? Not lukewarm. Really, what I was getting to with that with my kids is don't kind of be gray. You know, like we always say, there's hot and cold, there's black and white, there's different things. Don't be on the fence, be on one side or the other. Okay? For me, I was kind of explaining it like that. But here's what we get out of this. The cold and the hot refers to the water. Okay? The water coming into the city, to the church. All right? One was coming from the north. It was hot. All right? It's coming from Boiling Springs. But by the time it traveled through the Roman aqueducts of that time and got to the city, and got to the church, it wasn't hot anymore. It was just lukewarm. All right? And then from the south coming up, you had, in the south, there was mountains with snow cap and things like that. So that ice strip created rivers, and they flowed that into the city. And it was cold, but by the time it traveled and got to the city, it was lukewarm. All right? And you guys know, if it's hot outside, you want something cool to drink, right? Something cold to drink. And when it's cold outside, you want something warm, you know? I asked my son last night, we were talking about this, and I said, you know, I said, when it's really cold outside, you would want warm water to drink, right? And he's like, no. And I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, I wouldn't want hot chocolate. And I was like, but you would want something hot, right? And he's like, yeah, okay. And so that's what we're getting out of this here. We don't want to be that in between, that lukewarm taste in your mouth, okay? We want it to either be hot or cold. We want it to be either hot or cold, all right? So another thing is they were relying on their wealth, okay? Verse 17, it says, because you say, I am rich, and I have become wealthy, and I have need of nothing. That can create something of pride, okay? A lot of times we can get into this kind of lifestyle to where we don't need anything from anybody. We've got it made, all right? And just to put it in perspective, just a quick Google search. If your wealth, okay, if you were to do like a total wealth sheet, you know, like if you're applying for a loan or something, they need to know your net worth. If it's at least $68,000 or more, you're considered to be in the richest top 10% of the world, okay? Just $68,000. It's not a whole lot. A lot of Americans, to have their net worth of $68,000, probably considered in America, is probably considered the lower class. You know, I'm not big on the economics of everything. I have what I need. The Lord provides what I need, and I'm content with it. But not many people are. You know, a lot of people are wanting to get that extra wealth. They think that's a security. And once they get to a certain point, they just kind of sit back and they're secure in that. A lot of people think they consider you wealthy, you to be holy, right? You must be doing something right if you got all this stuff, all right? And if you don't, if you get sick, if you lose your house, if something bad happens to you, you must be sinning. There must be something wrong with you. When a tidal wave comes and hits, or a hurricane hits or something, or like I've heard about New Orleans several times because we lived in Florida with all the hurricanes. And man, New Orleans must be sinning like crazy. You know, they got all these hurricanes in there and flooding and all that. It's not true, guys. It's not true. How many times do we see... And we see it in this one example of Jesus' parable. What happened to Lazarus? He was the poor of the poor. What happened to him? Yeah. After this takes place, okay, after this life takes place, that's what really truly matters. All right, so the things you accumulate here on this earth, they're nice. There's nothing wrong with them. I'm not against making money. I'm not against doing new business ideas. Those are all good things. But that can't be your focus. That can't be your security. That can't be your way into heaven. And a lot of times it's us that gets in the way. Okay, there's a lot of good people out there that are just not going to make it into heaven. They're not living their life for Christ. Okay? There's a big difference in knowing what you're going to do when you pass away, and being able to live that out here while you're on this earth. And there's a difference in saying, I'm pretty good. I'm going to make it in there. There's a difference. There's a security there. Okay? as you talk to these people and you get into these stories and you look at the way this message was designed to Laodicea, it was designed in mind that these people are rich, but they're rich in the wrong way. Okay? I think us as Americans today, us as the church today, I think a lot of us are rich in the wrong way. We try to do good things. We try to gather backpacks and give it to our schools, and we try to do all these good things. There's nothing wrong with that. But we got to think about our motives. Okay, why are we doing these things? Why are you doing what you're doing right now? Why is your life the way it is right now? Is it because God's good graces have come upon you because you've worked hard your whole life and you earned it? Or is it something else? Are you content with where you are? Has the Lord put it in your soul? And has He, like He says here, verse 19, those whom I love I reprove and discipline. Has He disciplined you lately? Have you been in need of discipline lately? A lot of times it's easy for us as parents to look at our kids and say, hey, that kid needs discipline. Or especially for us as parents to look at other people's kids, they need discipline, you know. I'm not afraid to admit it. I grew up with a belt, you know. I got whippings, spankings, whatever you want to call them. It didn't kill me. I think it made me better. I think it made me respect, okay. There's a lot of times where we need to be disciplined. And I'm not saying that that's the only way to do it, but I'm saying that there is a way of discipline, and the person who disciplines us as Christians is our perfect Heavenly Father. There's no other way to be correctly disciplined the right way other than the way He has intended for you specifically. You got to believe that. If there's something bad happening in your life, you got to understand it's not necessarily bad. It's a way of teaching, okay? There's a way out. God has provisions for you in your lifetime. And that's what He's trying to tell the church of Laodicea. And I think that's what He's trying to tell our church today, okay, in America. I think that's what He's trying to tell us. I think He's trying to say exactly what He has here in verse 18. Excuse me. He says, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire. All right? Don't just rely on the things you have. Rely on the things that I want to give you, okay? Rely on those things so that you may become rich, not rich in wealth, in worldly standards, but rich in heavenly standards. You guys know that in heaven, and I'm not an expert on this, but there are things in heaven that we will receive because of things we've done here. Okay? It's almost like I like to refer to it as our heavenly retirement. You know what I mean? That's our reward. Okay? The things we do here do have purpose. All right? We are here to reach other people, and the Lord wants to use you for that. So the white garments all the way down to the salve, there was in Laodicea, there was a eye-making salve, like a medication that they were famous for, they would make, and it would physically help people's eyes. All right, but the Lord's saying, hey, use my ointment, use my salve in order so that your eyes will be open and you can really see, okay? It's not that we need to make good things here. We need to have good things in life. We need to be able to help people. We need to be able to come up with new cancer treatments and all kinds of stuff, you know, things to help people when they get sick. Those are all good things we do, but we can't let that be our main focus. We've got to make sure that if a person is dying, we've got to make sure of one thing. Do they know for sure who Jesus Christ is and have they accepted Him as a Savior? That's the ultimate thing. Because without that, it doesn't matter if we heal their body and they last another year or two. It really doesn't matter. Okay? We can have hope that after this life, that we will know what's going to happen to us. There's got to be that sense in us as Christians to where we want to spread that with other people. And if it's not there, you need to ask yourself, what are you doing here? Why are you here? Why does the Lord have you here? If you're not willing and able to share your testimony with somebody. And the reason I say testimony is because that's the ultimate thing that we carry around with us all the time, 24/7, that if the Lord says, hey, I need you to go speak to that girl right there, or that guy over there, or that guy over there, you have something on your side. You've got the word and the testimony within you to give to that person. And you got to believe that as the Lord is our healer and the Lord is our ultimate person of discipline, all right, that's the best thing we have to offer, okay, at that time for that person. So as a church, as a person, as we kind of come to a close, I want you to recognize the message that was wrote to Laodicea. And as I kind of look around, I look in our neighborhoods and I look at our communities and I see kids coming into different things and their families and I get to meet them and you know, we have Little League and we have the Upward and we have the schools. We do all kinds of things. We go on mission trips. We get to see people. We get to know people personally. And as you get to meet people and as you see what the world is like, we live in a really rich community. There's no doubt. Okay, we live in a community where we have toilet paper in the bathrooms. You know what I mean? We're able to use the bathrooms. All right, we have them. Most of us have food as much as we want all the time. All right, most of us have shelter. Okay, I say most of us. When I say that, I'm going to say 99.9% of us. Okay, we've got it made. We really do. There's no doubt in my mind that where we live at, our country, we've got it made. All right, there's a lot of other countries out there that resent us for that because we have so much. We have so much waste. You know, every restaurant in America, how many times do they throw food away every day? You know what I mean? We really have it made. And that's the way the Church of Laodicea was. They had it made. They were rich, okay? They had everything they needed. But the Lord was saying there's something wrong. And so I want to ask you this morning, what do we need to fix? All right? I want to encourage you to let the Lord come in and discipline you. Let Him come in and say, hey, you need a little work in your area and this area in your life. All right? You need a little work on this area of your life. Start polishing that up. Start polishing that up. And just see what the Lord has for you. I know we can become creatures of habit, can't we? We can come in here. I bet you I could come here next week and I could come in here and I could stand right here and I could see the same faces in the same seats. I guarantee you. If I go to your house and I say, where do I need to sit at your dinner table? You'd probably have a seat for me because you know that seat's your seat and that seat's your wife's seat. And, you know, I mean, that's just how we are. We're creatures of habit. Don't let the creature of habit stall your Christian life. Don't let that creature of habit say, well, somebody else will go to that place and share the gospel. Somebody else will go over there and share the gospel. You know, that guy's my best friend. That guy's my father-in-law. That lady's my wife. But you know what? They know where I stand. They know that I'm a Christian, and I'm just living my life, sowing my seeds by living my Christian life. Let me tell you something. The Lord gives us a mouth, and He gives us ears. And when I was taught as a little kid, you do twice as much of this as you use this. But I guarantee you, He gave us this for a reason. It can hurt people, but it can also save people. Okay? Think about where the Lord has you in your life. Think about the people that are around you. Don't just be a witness. Be a witness. Share your witness. Share your testimony. Share your faith. All right? There's a huge difference in knowing you're a Christian and never doing nothing about it, never doing nothing with it. Okay? It's like the ultimate pitcher for a baseball team having a great arm, but he never plays baseball again. What good is he? Okay? So what good are you this morning? What good are you as a Christian? And if you're not, if you think you're a Christian, make sure you got it right today. Make sure that you change your life so that you can start living for Christ. I think we just kind of get in this monotonous type, yeah, we're going to church again Sunday. You know, what are we doing Sunday? Yeah, we're just going to church, you know. It should be more than that. You should be excited. There should be a little smile. There should be a little laughter. There should be true worship, okay? A lot of times we come into church and it's just none other than, well, here we go again. Anybody ever feel like that? A lot of times that's how it is. You go into churches and it's the same old thing. We should be excited that Christ has come. We should be excited that Christ saved us. And we should be excited for the messages He has for us. Listen, this whole thing, I hope it don't fall apart. From Ephesians down, it falls out from time to time. But anyways, but this word is full of good things for your life. And sometimes the good things don't look like good things. Sometimes we have to be reproved and disciplined, okay, to experience those good things. So look forward to what the Lord has for you in your life and look forward to what the Lord can do through this church right here, through this body of believers. And if you're really not part of it, if you don't feel the experience, if you don't know what it's all about and you can't answer the question for sure 100%, I know exactly where I'm going when I die, and I can tell you why. Then you need to rethink your quest of life. Why are you even here? I've told my kids before, if you're not going to live for Christ, what does it matter what bad you do? It really doesn't. It doesn't do you any good to live a good life, if you don't know Christ as your Savior. What good are you doing? The only reason we do good and you see organizations created and they're able to help people is because it makes them feel happy. That's the truth of it. It makes you feel good to do something for somebody else, doesn't it? But if you're a Christian and the Lord says, I need you to do this for that person, and you do it, there's another difference. There's a true experience of joy and happiness that you can experience that you just don't get otherwise. There really is. We're going on a mission trip. First Baptist Gate City, we're kind of organizing a mission trip for Alaska. I had a contact up there from a different trip I'd been to in the past. And the church up there still needed some help. And if you guys have ever been on a mission trip before, it's amazing. If you've never been on one, I encourage you to go on some. Go on multiple. Any chance you get, go. Because you get to see firsthand the experience and the true happiness of serving. All right, you can do that here too. You can do local stuff. You can do local missions. All the things we talked about, helping the schools, raising the backpacks, feeding people, you know, helping people in need. You know, if somebody gets sick, take them meals. There's joy in that. There really is. And the benefit of it is you're building your heavenly retirement. Now, that's not the goal, okay? Don't get me wrong. That's not the goal. That's not the reason we do these things. But there is benefit to it, all right? Just like we as parents, we want to reward our kids when they do good things. Man, Christ is going to be able to reward us just beyond our measure, okay? So that's my message to you this morning. I just want to encourage you this morning that if you do not know Christ, or if you think you do, but you're really not sure, if I were to come up to you right now and say, hey, why are you going to heaven? Why do you say you're a Christian? And you can't really give me an answer. You need to really stop and consider that, because there's no telling when your last moment is. Think about Lazarus. Think about the rich man. Think about how he wishes he could go back, but he can't. All right? There's no other way. Think about all the people that Jesus was preaching to and he fed, that he just wanted another sign. There's no other sign. You know the right answer. You just got to get over your pride, get over your years and years of habit of coming in and sitting on the back row. Not that anybody on the back row is bad, okay? All right? But think about it. All the things you've done in life, all right, all those things, if you can't answer the reason why you know Christ as your Savior and you're living for Him, it's all in vain. There's no point to it. There's none of it's going to count. There's not a scale up there, and we're all going to walk up to the scale and say, oh, man, I wish I'd have done one more thing right. You know, it's not going to happen. All right? It's all done by grace. All right? So that's what I have for you this morning. I hope that the Lord has spoke to you. I know He spoke to me through this. I just think as a church, as a body of believers, we can certainly do more for Christ. We can certainly open up and say, okay, Lord, what do you want us to do? What's our purpose today? All right, I'll end with this. My grandpa was kind of like my dad. I mean, nothing wrong between me and my dad. I love my dad, but one of the things I always remember my grandpa telling me was, Josh, when you follow Christ, he said you need to be able to see the footprint from behind his foot when he takes another step. And he said, that's the footprint you need to stay in. All right? We all know what happens if we're tracking something, or if you're on the beach and you walk down the beach. After a while, those footprints go away, don't they? Over time, they get eroded. They go away, and you can't even see what's been there. If you guys are hunters or trackers, you know what I'm talking about. You know, an animal goes off and you're trying to track it or whichever way you're going. The closer you get to the fresher footprints, the closer you are to that animal, okay? But here's the other aspect of it, is if you try to get in front of the Lord, you still can't see His footprints. So what good is it to get you ahead of the Lord? So the best place to be is when He picks that foot up, you step in that footprint. And that's the best place you can be. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter if you're facing cancer, no matter if your spouse has just passed away, if your son killed himself, I'm talking bad stuff, okay? Things that you don't really understand, all right? The best place you can be is still right there in that footprint. And if you don't know how to follow those footprints, you need to figure out how. All right, find out a reason. Find out a way. So that's what I have for you this morning. I'll be honest with you, I don't know what y'all do after this point. So I'm going to let you guys have it. I'll be down front. I have no problem explaining to you and showing you. If you have a question about Christ or if you're unsure about what to do with your life, I'll be right here till the end, very end. All right. And I know that there's some other good men and some good women around here. If you need to know for sure today, just make today your day. All right. All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Brother Josh. Thank you for the message the Lord has prepared you to deliver. And we appreciate you coming and being with us today. Okay. Sister Nancy wants to speak, please.
If anybody has any questions or need for bereavement for the next 2 weeks, contact Ms. Fleeta. She will be taking care of that while we are absent. And Sherry and I will be gone for a couple of weeks just because that Danny's having surgery Tuesday. And if you all would, please pray for him and pray for us, that pray for the doctor and her little friend that's going to assist her with the surgery. I don't know what to call it. Her little robotic friend is all I know to say. But Lucy's going to be helping Dr. Intimoto, whatever her name is. But thank you all so much, and I love you. You know I do.
Sister Nancy requested, and Sister Sherry too, prayer for Danny. And we know it's a difficult time when you go through this. No matter what the situations are, they're different, but we all need to be humble and we all need to be prayerful in whatever we do. We need to be a praying church. Among other things, we need to be prayerful and in prayer. If you don't have anything else to pray about, pray for me and the deacons and our pastor and our church family. Look around us. We got a lot of family here. It's almost as many as I have in brothers and sisters and nieces and nephews and whatever, if we all got together. But it is good to see you and glad you're here today. Those that are visiting us, we have people drove down here from Michigan just to be with us. Well, they're down here, and they always come. We appreciate them so much. And any others that are visiting for the first time, we welcome you back, and we're just glad that you're here, and we're glad that we pray that you know the Lord, and Brother Josh has told you, if you don't know the Lord, contact someone that you know does, and let them share with you what they have learned and why they're going to be going to heaven and not to hell. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. And after this prayer, we'll stay. Those that are members, please stay for just about 5 minutes. We have a little matter of business to take care of, and we need to vote it, approve it, or disapprove it. So if you would, please stay for just about 5 minutes. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for our church family. We thank you for those here today to hear your word, and thank you for Brother Josh coming and willing to share his heart and what you placed upon his heart to teach us and tell us and remind us. Remind us, dear Lord. Sometimes we forget. We get into our ways and out of your ways, and we lose focus. And just remind us, Lord, where we are and what we should be doing. And as Brother Paul says often, whose we are. We're yours, bought with a price, and we thank you for that. We thank you for this time together and for this day and for loving us another day. And we ask you to be with us until we come back tonight for tonight's service. And may you be with us today and give us protection and safety and keep the evil one from us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.